You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we kick off hour number two, broadcasting here over the great state of Wisconsin from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite kind of frozen pizza? We're kind of narrowing this down. I don't even know. Have we ever done pizza in general, Conrad? I don't know if we have.
I don't think we have.
How do we sidestep that? But we're going frozen pizza tonight. So we've gotten some great texts already. Please share your favorite frozen pizza. You can text us on the app, the Civic Media app, very easy to use, or at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or on the stream. If you happen to be watching the radio, it's great to have you that way too. However you're joining us, it's just a pleasure to have you here with us. Christina Laurie is my guest. She is the editor of Up North News. If you have not checked out Up North News. Christina, how can listeners get Up North News? Is it something you go and email? You have to go to the site and sign up? How does that work?
Yes, it's very easy. So our website is upnorthnewswi.com. And right at the top, there's a button that you click. It says subscribe. All you have to enter is your email address. No name, no actual location, no phone number. It's that easy. And our newsletter is always free. So
great. It's kind of thing like when you check your email first thing in the morning, I always see Up North News and I'm like, oh, what do they have today? Like it's, and you know, sometimes nothing really jumps out at me, but more often than not, I end up spending a few minutes reading Up North News. It's that informative and that fun. So we were talking about Vince Lombardi and what a pioneer he was of civil rights, something I had no idea. There were times he wouldn't let his team stay at a hotel if they didn't allow people of color, or, you know, he boycotted a game in the South. That's pretty remarkable.
It's crazy when you think of just like timing wise, this wasn't all that long ago. Right. Lombardi took over as head coach in 1959. And when he took over, they only had one black player in Green Bay.
Wow.
So during his next, you know, decade there, he added 12 more. Well, actually, rewind. He added 12 more immediately that first season. By the time he left, almost half of his team was black players, which was unheard of at the time. He also hired the first black assistant coach in the NFL. And I mean, it's one thing to just hire black athletes. It's another thing to be their biggest defender. And that's
right.
What Vince Lombardi was. It just shows his true character. And the reasoning behind it was really interesting. Also, you know, going back, like currently, you don't really think of Italian Americans as a marginalized group. But back then, he felt like he was personally discriminated against too because of his Italian roots. So he felt a kinship with Black Americans, obviously to a much lesser extent. But that was kind of the impetus of his entire way of being. And it wasn't just on the basis of race. He had, when he ultimately left Green Bay to go to the Steelers, he had a few gay players on his team who were not out at the time.
Wow.
And he champions them. And,
really?
You know, that was all private. That was not made known until about a decade ago when they spoke out about it. But it's just incredible because he was so ahead of his time, and it's so on brand for Wisconsin, right? Like
yeah.
A state where our motto is forward. He was just like such a pioneer in so many ways.
And pretty gutsy too, to have that kind of, courage back then, especially when he felt marginalized as well. That's a remarkable story.
What's incredible too, is right now this seems especially topical at a time when, you know, DEI is such a conversation. These weren't as people like to say, didn't earn it hires. That was not the case then, just as it isn't now, because as we know, adding those 12 players to the team was only an asset for the Packers,
right,
who went on to absolutely dominate that entire decade. So he was looking for the best of the best, and he found them in those black players.
Very well said. I'm so conflicted here because I had so much to talk to you, but we're running out of time. I wanted to jump into not jump into shipwrecks, but I wanted to talk about shipwrecks. We'll save that for another time. But let's end with the sweet stuff. Pancakes. You did a recent article about pancakes. I didn't know they dated back to 600 BC. How did that even happen? Did it even have a griddle back then? How do they do that?
No, that's funny because that caught me off guard too. We always, one thing we like to do is just, you know, celebrate. It seems like there's a national day for everything.
Yeah.
So, too many. A few weeks ago, it was National Pancake Day. And it's just a great opportunity to shout out some local businesses, you know, gauge people's opinions. What's their favorite place to get pancakes? My personal favorite place is to make them myself. I don't think anything can top a homemade pancake, but we also wanted to shout out the pancake mix that I personally use too. It's from this place called Porchlight, which is a nonprofit that provides housing for people in Madison who don't have it. And it also gives them employment opportunities. So they actually help, you know, make this pancake mix. They also have scone mixes. They have a great fresh bakery. They make pizzas as well. Wow. It's just a great opportunity and a way for you to feel good and eat good.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's, and I think if people knew more about certain products or brands or whatever, they would buy them. Like, I didn't know that. Now I do. And that's probably the first place I would go. Although I will say, if we could have bragging rights up here in Northeast Wisconsin, you did mention in the article, the best pancakes are found, say it.
I thought you, drum roll, please. The pancake place in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Have you been?
I have never been.
Oh my gosh. It just doesn't, it seems like you might have to have your Green Bay card revoked.
I don't live here. So I have to make a list of, I live an hour north of here, if you can believe that. But I have to make a long list of things I need to do in Green Bay. I'm slowly checking them off the list, but I've not been to that place and it sounds amazing.
It is delicious, but also it's kind of along the lines of pizza. You really can't go wrong at a classic Wisconsin diner.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's nice. What that is. Just, you know, the tradition, you can tell that. And it, places like that, pancakes, the one thing that can be hit or miss about them is when they bring them out and they're not piping hot.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be hot that the butter is like still actively melting.
I love that.
And that's what you'll find there.
All right. We have about a minute left. Tell us one more thing about these pies. They're Dave Elmer pies. Am I saying that right? It was a Wisconsin farm. And they supposedly have the best pies in the world. Let me see
yes,
if I can find them.
I think, because I'm not sure if it's Dave Elmer. That name isn't ringing a bell.
It's two guys. It's Dave and Elmer. You know what? Let's save this. Let's do this. I would love to have you back soon. And we have to save some stuff to talk about. I have 800 questions I didn't get to. But I cannot thank you enough for your time tonight, Christine. It was great to finally have you on the show. Keep up the amazing work at Up North News. And let's do this again, I hope.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Good luck at football practice. That's Christina Laurie joining us here on Nightlight. That was, have you been to the pancake place?
Yeah.
You have.
Actually, one of my friends who came here from Rhode Island for the first time, that we went there.
Oh.
And he tried his first cheese curds there.
At the pancake place? Tell me, they have cheese curd pancakes or what?
It was funny. He flew in and we went up to a cabin where my friend is up north. We didn't go to sleep that whole night.
Okay.
And then we drove to the pancakes. We drove to the pancake place and he's like, I don't care that it's 9 a.m. I want some cheese curds. So we got breakfast, cheese curds. I had some pancakes. It was amazing.
You know, you could probably put cheese curds into like, you ever had like those hash browns where they have cheese on them and a little bit of sour cream? They serve them at a lot of places like at Fish Fries up in Marinette. You could probably work cheese curds into hash browns.
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
yeah. It would probably be dynamite.
Oh, like, yeah.
Put them on a burger at Culver's, for God's sakes. You know?
it's a whole patty.
Was fun. Christina Laurie, great guest. Do you read Up North News?
I can say I only really read sports news.
Well,
those are the articles I divulge in.
So you could say you're informed about sports.
Yep. No, that's about it.
We've got some texts we need to get to here. We're a little bit behind because that was a pre-recorded segment, so we will get to our texts. And, oh, man, we got a whole bunch of texts here. People love food questions. We have to do – I think we need a food thing every night. Although we got good action last night, too, with our Gene Hackman.
Yeah, question. Yeah.
A lot of people kind of irate. So Rosemary, before the break, said, I'm a cell phone moron and a computer idiot. No, you're not, Rosemary. Those are very normal questions, especially if you're not a social media enthusiast. Rosemary says, yes, I found it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm old, short, long, short, Alexa. Old, short AI. I'm glad we could help, Rosemary. I'm glad you found Wonderfully Wisconsin. It's a great... great thing to follow. From the 608, Park Plaza frozen pizza from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Best around, hands down. Get the ground beef and cheese, add green olives, and you have yourself a night. That does sound fun.
Yeah.
I think we should get some of our best pals together and get a Park Lake, yeah. Park Plaza frozen pizza.
There we go.
Rosemary also says, best frozen pizza is the one I take out of my freezer. Not fussy, just hungry. I can rip through these. We got a lot of texts and not as much time. Jim from Appleton says, Little Chute, Kokana, Wisconsin are the home of Jack's, DiGiorno, Lots of Matza, Connie's, and many other brands that come out of two factories on County Highway 00. That is interesting. Why do you think that happened with Wisconsin?
I don't know. You know, I got to say, Connie's is really good, though.
Connie's is good.
That crust that they have. They have like this, like the salt maybe on the bottom, or what is it?
It's like crust. It's like little breadcrumbs.
Yeah,
almost, salted breadcrumbs.
It's so
and
good.
They're one of those few places, like there was Connie's Pizzerias, and they've transitioned into frozen pizza well, too. I don't know many brands that have done that very well or as successfully as Connie's has. Brian in Green Bay says, we have local high schools do frozen pizza fundraisers where the kids make them day of. Splendid. Preble pizzas are what we call them. All right. Katie from Madison says, Emil's pizza is great. At a local dive bar, they used to add celery salt. Oh, that's good stuff. After cooking in the countertop oven. Perfect. Thank you, Katie. That's an underrated topping. A little celery salt with your red pepper flakes.
I don't think I've had celery salt.
Oh, it's good. It's kind of like that, what you were just saying on the bottom of the crust.
Oh, okay.
There. Same kind of texture. Nick from Marshall says, Screaming Sicilian. We've had a lot of votes for that. Pamela says, used to love Pizzeria Uno deep dish. Now we enjoy Kroger's three meat rising crust frozen pizzas from Pamela in Wisconsin Rapids. That is awesome. Meat Sweats is still the best name for any pizza, I think.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot more text to read. We'll get to those. Our pal Mike Clemens, the Civic Media Sports Authority, coming up next to talk Badgers and free agency. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network. This woman is my destiny, she said.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We are having fun here on a Tuesday night. We are partying like it's a Tuesday night in downtown Green Bay, but we are casting that party statewide and hope you are enjoying as we talk about frozen pizzas and up north news. And now we turn our attention to Civic Media Sports Authority, who is going to keep us informed on everything we need to know about the tournament. And maybe we'll start off with Frank Sinatra's house. He's Mike Clemens, and he joins us now. Hey, Mike.
What made you bring up Sinatra's house?
Because I saw your Facebook post, and you said a Sunday night at the Sinatra's, and it was this great picture of Nancy Sinatra and the Sinatra living room, and they're all having dinner. I just thought that was a phenomenal find.
Oh, I can do 3 hours on this. I mean, there's some sort of new thread that's coming up on, I think that's my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
And there's these great little stories about just the way it was to be with Sinatra. Like, who was it said this? Yul Brynner. So, you know, Yul Brynner and his wife were close friends with Frank and his wife. And so Yul, as a matter of fact, Frank like had a bedroom where Yul stayed at.
Oh, wow.
And it just, you know, they'd come over, they'd have dinner. And then afterwards, they'd sit by the pool. Frank liked to wear an orange shirt, you know. They would listen to the radio. They would do crossword puzzles. They would drink a lot, tell stories about show business and that kind of stuff. But, you know, Frank was pretty good at chill. I heard a great story. Let's see. Was it Martin Short that told this? Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase told this when he was back for the SNL 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
It was one time in the late 80s. He got to see one of Frank Sinatra's last concerts. So, you know, somebody said, hey, this is Chevy Chase. He was a big movie star by then after his 1 year on SNL.
Yeah.
And so they get him back. And so he said, there's a line. And, you know, you learn in show business to say the right things. He said, but there was some guy that was with him, maybe Martin Short or whatever. And, you know, he got nervous and he said, Mr. Sinatra, I just want to say, yeah, I know. I know I'm great. What do you want to drink? Isn't that a great line? Yeah, I know. I've heard it all before. Oh. What do you want to drink?
You know, it's funny, Mike, because I remember Martin Short saying a similar story on like the David Letterman show or something. And he said Sinatra asked him and what he wanted to drink. And Martin Short said scotch or whatever. And he said straight up or rocks. And Martin Short said he thought Sinatra said straight up or relax. And Martin Short says to him, I guess relax. And he's like, what? Yeah. Like, they had this really awkward exchange.
Yeah, no, everybody knew how great he was. Oh, and so they were trying to not to sound stupid around him.
Right. I don't even think, like, if he's hanging out with Yul Brynner by the pool, I'd be too nervous to actually be in on the hang, but I would love to sit there, have them not see me so I could just observe them hanging out. That's what would make me feel more comfortable, I think.
Hey, listen, my dad was a hardworking guy, but every once in a while he would scrape it together. And now that I think about it, did some amazing things. Like when I was 14 or 15, he took the four of us. It was me, my brother, mom, and dad. And we were in New York City for about 3 or 4 days. One of his buddies had really made it in this business, which was in men's clothing retail. Mm-hmm. And he had a wonderful apartment in Greenwich Village. So I got to experience the village and wow. You know, some of the bars and shows there. And then Dad got tickets, and we saw Yul Brynner and The King and I in Broadway.
Oh, man, how fun.
Oh, just. And I can't remember the woman that played, as opposed to the actress that was in the movie in the 50s. But this is like late 70s, early 80s. But there's Yul Brynner on the stage. And he also got his tickets to a show where Richard Burton was playing down in Chicago. So doing Camelot.
Nice.
The lead
perks.
Of Camelot.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, so I've been really. He never took me to an NFL game, but he took me to that stuff. So that was fine.
Well, you found your path anyway, Mike. I think
yeah.
As your Twitter handle would indicate, you're the guy. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So where should we start here, Mike? Because we've got about 4 minutes to the news, and I feel like we're going to spend most of our time on the tournament. Maybe do you want to start with?
No. Let's talk about it. Because really, you know something. I'm not sitting here filling out a bracket. You know, I can't give that up years ago. And there's folks that do that in the office pool. That's fine. To me, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what these coaches can do to yeah. maximize this opportunity between Greg Gard and the Badgers and Shaka Smart and the Marquette Golden Eagles. So, Greg Gard, man, this team has really grown in terms of our personality. No one thought they were going to break the top 25,
yeah.
and they got as high as 8th there for a while in terms of the rankings. They go into this thing, I think 18th was their last. Of course, they lost to Michigan on Sunday after playing 4 games in a row. But when you look at that team with John Tonjay, man, what a transfer there.
Yeah.
A guy can score as much as 32 points in a game. John Blackwell, you know, on the guard. Max Kleisman, who comes in, you know, is a spark on that team. He missed 3 games, but he was able to come back for that Big Ten tournament. Kamari McGee with some speed. Big Nolan Winter. And Jack Janicki, you know, is kind of a in your face. And then the Stephen Kral story, where here's a big, talented kid that just was, I don't know, his head was someplace else. And Greg Gard calls him out in January after a press conference. Just one little line. But, you know, basically said, yeah, we're probably going to have to, you know, give him a little more time on the bench. One of those kinds of lines. And this kid realized, okay, I guess it's me. And he turned it around and helped that team put on the great second half they did. And now they got a decent seed. They're going to take on Montana.
Yeah.
The Badgers just arrived in Denver. Their game is going to be, though, Thursday at 12:30 out in Denver. And then Shaka Smart and all of his sayings, you know, like the domino, how do I make guys around me better? You know, I didn't realize this until a recent interview where I didn't know that he grew up listening to Al McGuire on NBC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's what, now see, that explains everything.
Yeah, that's great.
He is such a motivator that way, because he says things like, growing up in this part of the country, I couldn't help but follow the basketball program. I went through a coaching change myself when we lost my college coach, Bill Brown, and you know, and I cried. I mean, he comes up with these great dramatic things and talks about, you know, it's not only what can you do as a player, but how can you make the players better around you? Great philosophical things that Al McGuire would be proud. And that's how he's got this program turned around. He's going back to the tournament fourth year in a row with guys like Cam Jones, Stevie Mitchell, David Joplin, who's probably going to have the most games played as a Marquette player out of Brookfield High School in the Milwaukee area. So, you know, two interesting stories in those two coaches. We'll see how far they get in this tournament.
Badgers a 3 seed, Marquette a 7 seed. We will talk more about this with Civic Media Sports Authority. Mike Clemens, he's calling us from Sinatra's living room, and we'll have more after the news with Mike. So stay tuned. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Make me love you more each time. Yeah, baby. Honey, I'll never leave you lonely. Annie in Watertown says, pizza, the best way to get whatever into kids. Living on food stamps and WIC, Wisconsin. Oh, what does that stand for again? I'm blanking. A women, infant, children benefit included canned tuna, tuna pizza, tuna plus mayo plus cheese plus green pepper plus chip crumbs. Better than you would think. Oh, that's good to know, Annie. I never would have thought. I know they put Fritos on pizza now. I never heard of tuna, though, but that's... good insights. We'll read more of your texts coming up. What is your favorite frozen pizza is tonight's question. Right now, we have Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens with us, and we're talking about the NCAA tournament. The Badgers drew a 3 seed and Marquette a 7 seed. Mike, how about Michigan pulling a 5 seed even though they beat the Badgers?
Yeah, and everyone's really upset about how North Carolina got in and other schools didn't because of their record and that program. You know, this... I just there's always that drama every year.
Yep.
We don't focus on the teams that are at the top or they get most likely, you know, a chance to take this to the Final Four. It's always got who got snubbed. That's the better. That story gets more clicks.
No kidding.
You know, that's as far as I go on that.
So Wisconsin once again. I swear to God, if they have to play Duke again, it seems like every year, and maybe it's just in my head, they draw Duke in their same bracket or region. What is it? What is the deal there? Because if they end up playing each other, we're going to have to see clips from 2015 again, which is really hard to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I Greg Gard is biting his tongue. Maybe those things, there are some things he'll say about more about it when the tournament is over in terms of just – and he doesn't understand, you know, there's this tournament's going right on in Milwaukee. Why do we have to go out to – Denver. Why do we have to answer questions about, well, can you handle the Mile High thing? Because, you know, that's going to be raised when they play their game on Thursday, if they can handle those altitudes. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I have stood at the next to these athletic directors on Selection Sunday, and when the cameras and the microphones are on, it sounds like, well, yeah, we kind of counted on this all along, et cetera. Off the record, when you're standing next to them, they have no clue what's going to happen. No clue. And when their names get announced, and where they're going, like, huh? What? Okay. Well, what do we say? What do I say? Okay. They gather their thoughts, and they give you a nice little sound like, oh, yeah, we sort of knew this was all along. We're very excited to be playing. Who are we playing? New Mexico. Yeah, we're very excited to be going to Cleveland and playing New Mexico. Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, really, what are they supposed to say, right? Like,
right.
Oh, we got screwed again, or why are we
this
playing?
This just in, it's a TV show.
Yeah, right.
It's a TV show, and we're going to do it in arenas where there's NBA teams, and we've got, you know, rest that live close by, and we've got production trucks that are there. And it's a TV show, kids.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Right. So will you be going to Denver, Mike, or are you just going to be watching the games from the comfort of your own home?
No, and after hearing Brittany on the show earlier, I'm glad I didn't book a flight. The Badgers just landed, by the way, so they're good. Okay. They just landed about 45 minutes ago in Denver.
You know, I haven't followed college basketball until like a couple weeks ago, but I do think the Badgers seem like they're in kind of a good position. Like, I feel like they could make some noise, and there's something about this team, and maybe it's Tanjay, but I feel like they could do something.
Well, if they're rested, I mean, I don't know what the lesson learned from the Big Ten tournament, you know, playing four straight days, but if the spacing is there, if they can get their three-point shot going, they're a very tough team to beat, and they're the best in the nation. They've been percentage-wise from the free-throw line, so if their opponent's stupid enough to try and think that fouling them or getting physical is the way to go, that will play into their hands. To me, if they meet like the way Michigan played them, you know, slow the game down, pass it around, keep it away from them, and find the little things on the tape. There's these little things you do. You know what? If you go to the left more on this guy, he doesn't seem to be able to cover as well if you went to your right. So, you know, if we can get the ball to this shooter on the left side of the key, if he goes left, he's got a better chance of, you know, driving to the basket or, you know, tossing one out to the outside. I mean, that's where the coaching comes in, to pick up that stuff on film. And you know, Greg Gard, man, that's his strength, is breaking down tape, finding technique, and coaching those guys, you know, to take advantage of any tendencies that the opponents have.
How do you think, before we get into some NFL stuff, Mike, how do you feel about Marquette? They're kind of a higher seed, a seventh seed. They've got Auburn in their region, but they've also got Michigan State, who Wisconsin just beat. So I feel like if they get hot, you know, maybe there's a chance, right?
Yeah, you know, they were rated high to start the season, and I don't think that they were exactly decimated by injuries. They got cold with some of their shooting and inconsistent. And you could see the frustration from Shaka Smart there, particularly in January and February. And they turned things around here toward the end. But, you know, they go a team that was ranked seventh around December or so. But when they started getting into some of the other games in the Big East, and I didn't think that some of those teams in the Big East that they were losing to were necessarily that good. I didn't think the Big East was that good of a conference. Except, you know, they could not get past St. John's. Everyone in New York is just crazy excited about St. John's being, you know, one of the top seven ranked teams in the nation. But they lost, was it all three times to them? You know, I to me, Marquette is probably the more disappointing team, because I think everyone thought that they were going to be a hotter, a more consistent shooting team and higher scoring team when the season started.
Yeah, that's interesting. You shared an article with us, Mike, on that heels of free agency ending here, NFL free agency, that was written by Mike Florio. This obviously affected you reading it, and I was reading it, and I don't even pay attention to where we get our information. I do like Mike Florio. I think he's, you know, he shoots people straight. But what is his beef exactly with insiders and how we get our information? Is he saying in this article? Well, I'll let you give an overview of the article. As a sports journalist,
when it was posted this morning, I thought, well, okay, Florio is saying what I've been thinking. I've thought that on this show in particular, maybe I want to share with listeners about how things work in the NFL these days, because there's so much interest in contracts and where's Aaron Rodgers going to go and these kinds of stories. There was a situation about a year and a half ago where Adam Schefter from ESPN, the top NFL insider, and we underline that word insider, was asked by Dan Patrick, he's like, where do you get these stories? How do you put this together? Well, you know, yeah, you want to see how the sausage is made. I mean, you know, I get clues here, I get hits there, I get tips there, and I sort of piece it together. So you're guessing? You know, well, I don't want to say that, right? So he got into a place, he painted himself into a corner that he should never have done. The fact is, you know, if it looks like it, smells like it, you know, feels like it, then it's probably it. You're probably on the story. But you're also getting it from sources, and most of those sources are the agents. Mike Florio, for folks that don't know, I mean, he's on camera a lot. He's on camera on Sunday nights. He was an attorney, and about 20, 25 years ago, he started a little website called Pro Football Talks, and everybody was using that blog as like a chat room to drop their rumors because there's millions of dollars on the table. You know, it's a card. Yeah. The NFL's a big card table with a bunch of chips on it, and millions of dollars, and dudes are trying to, you know, get their fair share off the table and in their pocket and walk away. So he started carrying these stories that were all turned out to be true because they were from players, agents, coaches, GMs, owners, sharing this stuff. When you see these guys down on the sidelines before game, that's all the stuff that they're talking about. You know, they're networking. Hey, man, if I get fired, you know, I think I could get that GM job. Would you be my head coach if I end up going to Carolina? You know, this is what they're talking about pregame. So Florio sells that website to NBC Sports for millions of dollars. And, you know, now he continues to work on his content. There are times he's been way wrong on stories and never apologized for it. And, you know, he really ripped Aaron Rodgers for allegedly passing up a woman that, you know, was wearing a bandana. She'd been going through cancer treatments and didn't autograph the Senate. And he called him a jerk. Look at what a prima donna Aaron Rodgers is. Well, he didn't do his facts checking that Aaron had actually signed that woman's stuff on the way to the plane, and when they came back, she was still there. When they came back from a trip, he'd already signed stuff for her. But you know, he ripped Aaron Rodgers for 3 days and never apologized for it. When he was completely off.
Is that
Before
how their
wrote
feud
a thing
started?
Today that said, listen, these NFL insiders like Adam Schefter at ESPN, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, Jay Glazer at Fox, to a lesser extent these days, they'll say, all right. Aaron Banks goes from the San Francisco 49ers to left guard of the Green Bay Packers, a four-year deal worth $77 million. Athletes First did the deal. Or Drew Rosenhaus brokered the deal. Right. So he's naming his agents, right. And it's like, you know, these so-called insiders, they're not fooling anybody. Their sources are the agents.
Right.
And the agents are using these so-called insiders as billboards to say, hey, look what our firm got for this player. They're only advertising to the college players, hey, sign with us, look how much money we got our guys. And is that really reporting? And the fact of the matter is, you've seen less and less of us, guys like me in radio, guys at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Wisconsin State Journal, able to break these stories because there was a big change in the business. Do you remember when Drew Rosenhaus was Javon Walker's agent and Javon had this big softball tournament down at what was then Miller Park and brought in a bunch of B-list celebrities? And then he had Terrell Owens. He's out there in the sidewalk, you know, and Terrell's doing the sit-ups and, you know, crying, and that's my quarterback. Yeah. Drew Rosenhaus was becoming the headline of the story, just like the movie Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
And I think at some point Roger Goodell rightfully gathered the owners and say, this is not about the agents. It's about the players. It's not about the owners. You owners don't want this stuff exposed.
Right.
All right? So they and the agents figured out, why are there 300 or 400 of us? Let's all co-op. So the agents have all gone to about 4 or 5 mega agencies where they share the secretaries and the offices and the facilities. And there's 1 or 4 places where they do all the booking, and they break their stories with the so-called media partners. So when ESPN and Disney cracks a check for $500 million for the rights for Monday Night Football and all that, or CBS or Fox, those are the people that get the stories. Or the NFL Network, which is owned by the owners, they're the 4 or 5 guys that get the stories from the agents. And Florio pointed out, this is kind of a charade. These guys aren't really breaking stories. They're getting group texts from the agents, and they're just sort of the PR flacks. So understand that that's part of the process that's going on.
That's really interesting you say that, where the agents get named. It's like a tip of the hat. It used to drive me crazy when Hollywood trailers would come out from the studio that brought you. No one cares what studio a movie is from. It's the same thing with the agents. Fans don't care if Drew Rosenhaus brokered a deal. And it says right here in Florio's article, insiders aren't journalists. They're external PR reps. That's interesting.
Well, that's sort of what they've become. But, you know, I tell you, Goodell and the owners have, and people say, you know, Mike, don't talk politics. Just stick to sports. And as Aaron Rodgers once wisely said at his locker during the Colin Kaepernick situation with the national anthem, he said, you know what? Sports and politics are closer than you think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're both agents for anger, and anger becomes this addiction, and people want to know what's going on with their politics and what's going on with their sports team, and that creates the phone calls and the Twitter and the reaction, and they buy jerseys and they go to war. But in terms of and that's not to take away from Tom Pelissero, who came up through the ranks of the Green Bay Press Gazette, then worked in Minneapolis, and then was a writer, and then became one of the faces of the NFL Network. These guys have worked very hard. Schefter used to come to Green Bay when he wrote for the Denver Post wearing a full suit on Sunday, and not just because he was arrogant. He wanted to be who he is. He has worked very hard to get to that level and build those relationships and earn that job. And he lives on that phone 20 hours a day. But, you know, it's not like Will McDonough, who is the newspaper writer out of Boston has sort of, built this sort of thing, or Peter King, or remember John Clayton?
Hey, Mike, hold that thought for 1 second. We got to do a real quick break. Okay. All right. We're coming right back with more with Mike Clemens on Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
PJ on the stream says, my Whirlpool oven has a pizza button. I thought he meant when I first read that, my Whirlpool, like his hot tub.
Yeah, that's what I thought too when I read that.
Serious customization. And Robert Lehman on the stream says, Christina does an excellent job with Up North News. I get it every morning. I love Christina and Up North News. And he also says, I love taco pizza.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah. I think he loves Christina more because he said that twice. But we love Christina, too. Thank you, Robert. And Taco Pizza is awesome. We've got some more text to get to. But Mike Clemens is on the line with us right now. Mike, it's always great the way you break things down. It's just so insightful, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm surprised that fans aren't a little more just, okay, physically, what's like an NFL team doing to put the best players together to win games? But they are fast. Since there is a salary cap, and since it's a long off season, that's the thing that people are talking about right now. About who's out, who's spending too much money, who's wasting money, who got overpaid, who's getting underpaid, who deserves more pay, and so it creates this whole industry for the NFL to be relevant 12 months a year, and that's the period we're going on right now. So, but I think, you start to see these things happen not only, in sports, but, in politics as well. They kind of mirror each other about, well, what's the real story and what's really the important thing that we should be talking about here?
We always seem to miss that, I think.
Right.
Mike, as always, thank you. Hey, before we let you go, what's your favorite frozen pizza? Do you have one?
I take a Tombstone and I put on extra green pepper and extra onion and maybe some olives and all that, and that usually gets me by. I don't have anything fancier than that, but
that's all you need.
But it works.
And that's
at 11 o'clock
at
night, right?
Yes. Sleep on your stomach, Mike. Great stuff as always. Thank you, buddy, and we'll talk soon, I hope.
Thanks, Pete. Talk to you down the road.
All right, you got it. That's Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Authority. Laying it out there like only Mike can. It's always fun to see that. That's a great article to break down, too. Like, I don't even think of that stuff. But it takes a journalist to identify that and go, hey, wait a minute, and to talk about what Florio did and to kind of do a deep dive into it. So that was fun. Our question of the night, as many of you know, is what is your favorite kind of frozen pizza? Wisconsin is the frozen pizza capital of the world. Craig on the stream says Portezzi Pizza. I think I'm saying that right. Portezzi Pizza out of Stevens Point is my all-time favorite. Exclamation point. I will always pick up some when I'm over there. I kind of forgot about taco pizza, what Robert said. That is dynamite stuff.
Oh, yeah.
PJ also said he likes the Screaming Sicilian pizzas and compares them to lots of matzo. Would you say that's accurate, Conrad?
Yeah, I would say that. I think it has a tougher crust on the Screaming Sicilian.
Okay. All right. Steady Eddie checks in. Pete, Paul Newman, not much of an actor, but he can make a hell of a good pizza. Let's not forget salad dressings either, Steady Eddie. Steady Eddie continues, actually, I would never eat a frozen pizza. So pedestrian, so Wisconsin. Steadfast Edward prefers to keep a personal pizza chef on call 24 hours a day. Oh, must be nice if you have the means there, Steady Eddie. He says, okay, I'm lying. One time I ate a frozen pizza while it was still frozen, and I liked it. Truthfully, whatever you got, even Totino's, is good with me. I'll eat anything. I'm not fuzzy. Well, I wouldn't know, Steady Eddie. Maybe he didn't mean fuzzy. I don't know. Maybe he's saying he's
fuzzy.
He's saying I'm not fuzzy. Oh, yeah. He does the full body shave. Thank you, Steady Eddie, as always. Ollie from the North Woods told us, what did she say again, Conrad? She's got...
Well, there's an astronaut that was born in Winter, in the small town of Winter, Wisconsin.
Jeff Williams was his name, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and Ollie... Boy, Ollie has got her finger on the pulse of the North Woods. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Chris Casper. Always good to hear from Casper. He says, lots of matzah. Can't argue with that. Have you had the cheeseburger pizza?
When I was growing up, there's this place. I don't remember what it was called. But it was in my town, Camelsport, when I lived there. And they had a burger pizza there. And I'll never forget. That was the first burger pizza I think I've ever had. And it was one of the best pizzas. It had pickles, bacon bits, pieces of ground beef. Oh, it was amazing.
It's weird they can, the first time I saw a cheeseburger pizza, I'm like, oh, God. And then I taste it. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. They do taste test all of them. Annie from Watertown says, oh, my God, pizza dreams. Emile's Pizza in Watertown. Grew up on Emile's in the 1960s. Call for delivery. Run over to the A&W for root beer. Still the best combo. Yeah, you cannot go. Wow, that's great. A&W uses the real sugar to it.
Yeah.
Excellent leftovers the next day. Sells frozen now. Excellent, but just never found it or any to equal the powdery crust, elastic, cheesy quality, except once in Guatemala. Annie should be a food critic. That was a beautifully crafted text there, Annie. Bridget from the 818, I'm sorry, says home run in. Hey, that's our third one for home run in, including me. She says delicious. Annie from Watertown also says pizza, the best way to get whatever into kids. Oh, we already read that one. Oh, I'm starting to repeat my text, Conrad. Sometimes they repeat.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? I swear, or else I get bumped back up to the top. Hey, great text, everybody. Thank you. This was a fun question. Glad you guys were part of it. Love to hear what kind of frozen pizza you like. We are the frozen pizza capital of the world here in Wisconsin, and we just celebrated that tonight. My thanks to Christina Laurie. I will pass on Robert's text, your message to Christina. That was very nice, Robert. And Mike Clemens, as always, so much fun. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.